He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
This is Media Watch. I'm Colin Peacock. Coming up on Media Watch this week, that dolphin drama that stalled the sailing last Sunday certainly fired up Sir Russell Coutts, his fans, and the media.
It's a juicy, juicy talkback topic.
To hear that we could not do the sailing for one dolphin, that is disgusting.
But did the facts about marine mammals and the Sail GP get drowned out by all that noise? Before that, though, we look at the review of the Cyclone Gabrielle response that says the emergency response wasn't fit for purpose. But could the same be said of some of the media coverage that was part of that?
Well, an independent review led by former Police Commissioner Mike Bush has found civil defence officials were not prepared for Cyclone Gabrielle and were overwhelmed by its severity, speed and scale. The review found they were also overconfident about their ability to cope and took a best case scenario approach rather than preparing for the worst.
That was Ingrid Hipkiss summing up the review into the emergency management response to Cyclone Gabrielle in Hawke's Bay that was released last Tuesday. And the former top cop Mike Bush had also led a review of the Auckland anniversary weekend floods, which struck just weeks before the cyclone. Now, that review didn't pull many punches either, and it had a thing or two to say about the media's own disaster response. For that one, the news media had been caught out over a holiday weekend, and much of the most useful information ended up on social media rather than the traditional media channels, at least in the earlier stages. And for Cyclone Gabrielle, well, Ingrid Hipkiss asked Mike Bush last Tuesday about one of the standout findings this time round.
They had responded well to previous emergencies in the Hawke's Bay area before. That doesn't mean that you can take a more relaxed approach to looming crisis. Really important that in these situations you take in the mindset that you prepare for all scenarios.
Mike Bush went on to say there was some pretty strong language about that, though most of it didn't make the final report, along with 75 recommendations for changes. Last Tuesday, reporters only had about 15 minutes with that report before quizzing the region's mayors. And on Morning Report, the Hastings mayor, Sandra Hazelhurst, said everyone was overwhelmed by the cyclone's speed and severity when it hit.
Nobody, so we were just totally underestimated the absolute scale and the speed and severity of, you know, when the cyclone struck.
But the owner of the Eskdale Holiday Park, Dan Gale, told Morning Report that he was geared up early in response to the weather warnings.
Well, I agree with the scale of the event. It was massive. But the speed, it was known. The forecasts were talked about for a week in advance. I prepared on the Wednesday, Thursday for the flood. We evacuated days in advance. We left on the Saturday and Sunday. And, we flooded Monday night. It wasn't a flash flood, as I've heard other officials claim.
So for him and others, the conclusion that emergency management officials were overconfident and underprepared was pretty hard to take. Most of the report's conclusions are specific to the emergency management organisations and hierarchies and not the media. The government's final report into the disaster, which was due to be with the Emergency Management Minister Mark Mitchell this week, may cover off some of the role of the media. But some broadcasters like TVNZ and RNZ are lifeline utilities obliged by law to offer coverage during a disaster. But this week, the Bush report did say the overall lack of a common operating picture made it hard for staff with public information functions to respond to requests from government, communities and the media. It also said that the overstretched public information staff had little understanding of national communication assets and their role as lifeline communication channels. With the result, the report says that the national media was arguably underutilised. And the resulting communications were seen by many in the community as generic, lacking timeliness, and interestingly, overly focused on social media as opposed to mainstream media channels. One respondent told the report, "I saw their comms. To me, it was just all the usual civil defence spam." While another said, "I got more from watching TV than from the councils." And another said, "Why did the council say to go to Facebook for info when there was no bloody power? Why didn't they just use the national media for more location-specific information?" Well, they did, but evidently national and local media didn't always get the news that the people could use from the authorities as well as from their own sources. The report said that alerts communicated by national media could have given some families and communities more time to prepare and driven a heightened communications tempo, which improved public understanding of the potential seriousness of the event. And one of the starkest quotes from those affected was this one.
"We got helicoptered out after hours on the roof and with nothing to our names. We were taken to Napier, and as we drove there, I could see people out mowing their lawns with no idea what was going on. It was surreal."
Pretty clear then that the message was not getting through to them. On Newstalk ZB last Tuesday, the drive host Heather Duplessy-Allen put a pretty pointed question to one of those who will have to put things right, the Hawke's Bay Civil Defence Emergency Management Joint Committee Chief, Heniwai Ormsby.
"Is it true that when people were ringing Hawke's Bay Civil Defence Emergency Management in the days before the flooding, they were told they were overreacting?"
"So that in the findings, he has picked up themes, Mr Bush, that relate to that. And so it's really important that we take those learnings and make sure that we build a stronger system going forward."
Heniwai, is it true that that was what was happening?
"That's what is in the review. So that's exactly the feedback that Mr Bush got."
And Heather Duplessy-Allen seemed pretty perturbed by that, probing further.
"What did they say? What did they say about why they were telling people they were overreacting? Why did that happen?"
That commentary, I believe, is not in the review.
And her Newstalk ZB colleague Kerry Woodham told listeners she was deeply unimpressed by what she'd just heard on Wednesday.
"To hear the word soup from the chair of the Civil Defence Response Unit in Hawke's Bay, you know, are we better off coming up with a neighbourhood plan and relying on each other? How much should be on a national emergency disaster response team? And how much should we be looking after ourselves?"
But when Cyclone Gabriel was gathering strength back in mid-February and already caning Coromandel, one of the loudest voices counselling against overreaction was their own station, Newstalk ZB.
It may well be coming in later on this afternoon. If it doesn't, then they have really done their chips on these warnings. I mean, one of the headlines I saw in News Hub was, "There will be destruction." If you've ever seen anything more anxiety-inducing in your life, I don't know. You know, they seem convinced it's coming our way and it's going to happen, so we shall see.
That was Kate Hawksby on ZB early on the 14th of February, as you can hear, dismissive of other media raising the alarm. And when Mike Hosking followed on ZB, he took it up a notch, knocking the experts who'd also just appeared on her show.
"So what we've done is whip ourselves into this extraordinary frenzy. I'm listening to your mate Chris from the Met Service. He's now talking about 100k winds as being like a hurricane."
"Well, he described it as ferocious."
Anyone who lives in Wellington, has lived in Wellington, 100k's is a breezy day.
And both of them, along with the next host Kerry Woodham, complained about the closure of schools in Hawke's Bay, where flooding very quickly turned out to be disastrous.
"And all the schools are closed in Hawke's Bay, in Napier. Dear me."
Also, people contacted me from Napier saying some schools were shut there. I just wonder what's happened to us as a country that we've become this paranoid and this soft.
The Broadcasting Standards Authority eventually considered that the comments were dismissive and insensitive, but ZB's listeners would not have been misled, thanks only to regular updates of reliable news, accurate feedback from affected listeners, and interviews with actual experts who were taking the situation seriously, even if the ZB hosts weren't giving them the same respect. And those who are actually in the region trying to deal with it all will find it pretty galling to be accused now of overconfidence and underpreparedness by a station that allowed its hosts, such as the now no longer on the air Kate Hawksby, to say things like this.
"Did we really need to shut all the schools? I mean, I reserve the right to be wrong. If it comes in like a wrecking ball this afternoon, then, you know, they were right and maybe it was just a bit slower than we thought. But I don't know."
Well, Kate Hawksby didn't know it back then, but a day later, we all did. Reflecting on the Mike Bush report this week on his daily Newstalk ZB podcast, Mike Hosking's sidekick Glenn Hart added this thought.
"Did they ask questions about prevention rather than the response? I feel like the weather forecasting is terrible and is never accurate and they should sort it out. Sack a lot of them, because if you're basing their job performance on anything, they don't know what they're doing."
And those are very interesting thoughts when you consider it wasn't the forecasters who failed to see the disaster coming, and it wasn't just the emergency management authorities who now need to ponder whether their emergency response was fit for purpose when Cyclone Gabrielle struck. As we heard there, some schools in Hawke's Bay were devastated by Cyclone Gabrielle, and that's one of the reasons that the bill for school rebuilds nationwide has ballooned. Recently, the government paused big builds, including ones already underway, and announced a ministerial inquiry into what it says are budget blowouts across the board and the way that $30 billion of school property is managed. Education Minister Erica Stanford announced this week former Minister of Foreign Affairs Murray McKelly will lead the inquiry that will report back by next July. And the minister confirmed to the Herald that the government is considering bringing back public-private partnerships for school building. Now, someone else with an eye on all this is the online subscriber-based outlet Business Desk, which puts a lot of effort these days into following the money that comes from the public purse. And recently it launched a series devoted to spending on education. And next week we'll hear all about that with the investigations editor, recently appointed as the overall editor at Business Desk, Victoria Young.
Stanford's already said, you know, PPPs, there's going to be a role for the private sector here. There's going to be a role for the business, the companies that we write for and read our articles. So it kind of made sense. I didn't have to sort of think too much about this one.
Victoria Young, Business Desk editor, next weekend here on Media Watch.
Whole world's been talking about dolphins, and my producer Andrew said, oh, for God's sake, please don't talk about dolphins. All we've been hearing is about dolphins, but I came in and all I heard was dolphins. Dolphin Gate.
That was News Talk ZB's Andrew Dickens kicking off his show at midday last Monday, the day after the Sail GP CEO Sir Russell Coutts threw a cat among the pigeons, or should that be the dolphins, about the presence of one marine mammal prompting the cancellation of racing in Lyttelton Harbour last weekend. Though dolphin-free races were held in front of spectators last Sunday, and crucially for Sail GP, they were televised successfully worldwide at the agreed time. Now, Andrew Dickens' plan was to move on from that dolphin drama, but only after chucking in his two cents on the matter, prompting this from his next guest, ZB's own political editor, Jason Walls.
You folded on that one pretty quickly.
It's a juicy, juicy talkback topic, you know, full of all sorts of people who think they know better, including me, but we need to move on.
But because the issue had got all political, Jason Walls wanted to talk about it too on that show.
To be honest, if you want to skip this topic, we can skip this topic. If you don't want to really talk about it, I just think it's the best thing to happen since the invention of talkback radio, this story, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And when Andrew Dickens closed his show 3 hours later, he and his talkback callers and texters were still stuck on the topic, a bit like that dolphin that didn't move on from the Sail GP course last weekend.
Who cares about that traitor Coots and his rich prick sport, says Craig. Very related text after that says, we will never be more than a backwater with the attitude of a lot of New Zealanders, envious, jealous of success, hate anyone that makes money. We are truly stuffed. All right, whatever. Don't do it where there's nature. Who's this? Is this the Mutton Birds?
And that was just one radio show 2 days after the flashpoint that sparked Dolphin Gate last weekend. Hayden Donnell now looks at how that media event blew up as a big news story and how important facts emerged but also got submerged by all the controversial claims.
Sir Russell, thank you for popping by. You would like to start, I believe, with a statement about the events of yesterday.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Well, Sail GP operates all over the world, and no doubt there are marine mammals in the water in all the locations that we race.
That's Newstalk ZB's Jason Pine breaking into his show on Sunday to air an extraordinary statement from Sir Russell Coutts. The former sailor and chief executive of Sail GP was incensed about being forced to call off competition in the Yacht Racing League's Lyttelton leg the day prior after a Hector's dolphin was spotted on the course. There were fears the marine mammals could be sliced up by foiling catamarans travelling at speeds of up to 100 kilometres per hour. But Coutts thought those concerns were overblown. The dolphins could just get out of the way, and even if they didn't, at least there were plenty more where those came from.
It's been my experience throughout my long career connected with the ocean that dolphins are extremely intelligent mammals and are inherently aware of boats around them. The Hectus dolphin is not an endangered species, as Otago University professor Liz Sluton recently claimed. That was a lie.
Coutts went on to compare holding a high-speed yacht race in the Banks Peninsula Marine Mammal Sanctuary to driving a car to work, saying both activities involve risk. He had harsh words for academic and dolphin researcher Liz Sluton, the Lyttelton Harbour Master, Doc Environment Canterbury, and the local iwi Ngāti Whiki, who he felt had forced SailGP into signing up to what he thought was an extreme marine mammal management plan. That stance got a lot of sympathy from Pine.
This seems to me to be utterly ridiculous, that so many obstacles can be put in place of an event of this magnitude, that a small number of minority interests can be allowed to hijack an event like this.
And his audience felt the same way.
Best way to make your point is on the phone. Kick us off, John.
Hey, Piney, who are these Muppets who are stopping this event?
Who are they?
Like, call them out. Like this is going worldwide. What an embarrassment.
John, that's a very good word.
It also won political backing. Prime Minister Chris Luxon said the race cancellation was emblematic of the country's obstruction economy. On TVNZ's Breakfast, his future deputy, ACT leader David Seymour, echoed Coote's driving analogy.
So would you be okay with dolphins being chopped up by foils?
Let me ask you this question, Lloyd. How did you get to work this morning? Did you come by a car? Because people die terribly from cars. Are you okay with people dying in car crashes? Why did you drive to work? I mean, you take risks every day.
Christchurch paper The Press placed less blame on overbearing officials and more on dolphins who wouldn't stop milling about where they weren't needed. Under the headline, Loitering Dolphins Disrupt SailGP, it wrote,
marine mammals loitering in Lyttelton Harbour forced SailGP to cancel their first day of racing, to the dismay of thousands of punters.
That leaves open the question of what an appropriate penalty is for dolphin loitering. Probably not community service. Flippers are terrible for picking up litter. Over at the platform, Sean Plunkett had a punishment in mind. Death. And dinner.
That, don't forget the Hectus dolphin debate. Fried or raw?
Plunkett may just have been in a provocative mood. Along with his calls for Hectus dolphins to be filleted, he had this to say about Maui dolphins.
The Maui's one up off the west coast, though. They are like the Down syndrome kids of marine mammals. They're crossbred, and they deserve to die. Not Downs people, don't start that, I'll be in big trouble.
As it turns out, that was correct. Plunkett went on air the next day to say, sorry not sorry, after being called out for insulting Down syndrome people by the former whale oil blogger Cam Slater and several others.
An apology largely in response to, unfortunately, I think, a kind of pile on cyber attack by some people who don't get on with me, some people who might imagine they're competitors of the platform.
In any case, so far so good for those calling for baby dolphins to finally take some personal responsibility for their own safety. But despite the early media onslaught, critics were given a chance to detail a few issues with these arguments. They took the opportunity to point out that SailGP hadn't accidentally stumbled into a marine mammal sanctuary. It had picked one on purpose as its venue. Here's Juliet Speedy on News Hub reading out a statement provided by Doc.
Hectus dolphins' official status is threatened, nationally vulnerable, and they are a protected species under New Zealand law. SailGP has chosen to hold its event in a marine mammal sanctuary that was established for the protection of Hectus dolphins. This decision to hold the event there was made in the full knowledge that protection of the dolphins from the impact of boats will be paramount.
As Coote's least favourite zoologist Liz Sluton told News Talk ZB's Weekend Collective straight after Pine's show, that makes the event less comparable to tootling off on your commute and more like staging a street race in a pedestrian park.
For example, in one case he's saying, because there is a chance of a road death, we shouldn't be allowed to drive on the roads. Now, nobody is saying we shouldn't be allowed to drive, just not at 300 kilometres an hour.
Surely that's a bit of exaggeration for comic effect, though. It's not like the boats are going that fast.
It's Formula One on the water.
It's all about acceleration as we turn towards the line.
It's fast.
It's furious. Ah, well, nevertheless. Slootin also told Tim Beveridge that Hector's dolphins are in fact endangered. She cited her own expertise, though she could have also pointed to the findings of the International Union for the Conservation of Nature or, indeed, Objective Reality.
He did say that claiming the Hector's dolphin is not an endangered, is an endangered species is a lie. I did a quick Google search and it looks like it is.
It surely is, yeah. So I have no idea why he would stick his neck out like that. Mm. You know, when my car won't start, I go to a mechanic. And when I have a toothache, I go to my dentist. And you would think if you've got questions about an endangered dolphin that you'd ask someone that's been studying those dolphins for 40 years.
That wasn't the end of the internal backlash to Pine's initial pro-Coots angle at News Talk ZB. It's Monday afternoon's host Andrew Dickens noted that SailGP had traded heavily on its environmental protections that Coots said were extreme and forced on them by iwi, including immediately after racing was delayed on Saturday.
The telly coverage, which is owned by Russell, promptly started playing a promo praising SailGP's respect for the environment, that they are powered by nature and that they look after our marine mammal buddies. You know, it was really good press for a clean, green GP event. That's the sail event, versus, say, the motor racing, which was the same weekend in Melbourne. Now, it was good press until the dolphin didn't move on. And so then he unleashed a spray about New Zealand holding people like him back.
In other words, everyone's green when it looks good in the marketing materials, but the real test is whether you stick to your principles when the foils meet the waves, or in this case, don't. None of these issues would have been new to anyone who had been following the coverage of Newsroom's environment editor David Williams. In the months before the SailGP event, he wrote a series of articles detailing the potential threats it posed to dolphins and the calls for the safety of sea life to be prioritised over racing. Just 2 days before the disrupted event, Newsroom published one of his stories specifically looking at the adequacy or otherwise of SailGP's marine mammal management plan. Those articles now look pretty prescient. I invited Williams onto the show to ask whether there's a certain level of satisfaction seeing an issue he's been raising for some time hit the headlines. Kia ora, David. Welcome to Media Watch.
Kia ora. Thank you for having me.
You've really followed the story about SailGP's potential clashes with Hector's dolphins closer than any other journalist in the country, really. Will you confess to at least a small feeling of smugness, well, seeing what you are warning about come to pass?
I will not. I'm sorry. I'll disappoint you there. I write these stories in the hope that people will do their jobs, follow the processes that they've set out, and everything will be hunky-dory. But sometimes
no professional pride in getting the jump on everyone else and really following this topic that's blown up before they did?
I mean, I looked back and saw that I'd written 14 stories about this since October 2022. It's good that the readers of Newsroom are very informed about what's going on there.
What was your reaction to hearing Russell Coates get up on News Talk ZB and deliver that relatively extraordinary statement on Sunday?
Well, it was extraordinary. It was a surprise to me because... But what happened next was there was racing on Sunday and everybody seemed pretty happy about that. So it seemed somewhat preemptive and it's almost like you're kind of burning the house down because you don't intend to come back when you put out a statement like that. He prefaced the racing on Saturday with a statement to One News saying that it was unlikely to come back to Christchurch because of all the barriers to what they were doing there. But if you look at the weekend in total, this is exactly how it was intended. When the dolphins were there, racing shouldn't happen. That was the protocol. This is their voluntary marine mammal management plan that they own. But when dolphins weren't there, racing took place. So when the Prime Minister talks about balance between the environment and commercial things, well, that's exactly what we had. They got to race a commercial race in a marine mammal sanctuary. So that's pretty extraordinary in itself.
Yeah, because that statement probably from most people, many people, would have been the first introduction that they've had to this whole saga. But you've been following it for a year or two, right? And in that time, SailGP, it's been at pains to point out it wants to do the right thing, but then you see Russell Coutts get up on Newstalk ZB and the statement definitely has a different tone to it.
It does, and I mean that's the advantage of getting them on the record, and you can compare and contrast what they're saying before the race or before some controversial event happens, and then you can contrast that with the statement made on the Sunday. And so they are quite different. The statements from SailGP said they had a world-leading plan. This is their commitment to the environments in which they race. And Christchurch NZ, which the Economic Development Agency of the city, which paid millions of dollars in cash and in kind to bring SailGP here, they were saying that in total, having racing here was going to be great for the Dolphins because it raises their profile and they had projects to do with the Dolphin. And then we hear what Russell Coutts said, which is this is an extreme plan and it was forced upon them and it's basically a barrier to what they wanted to do. So I think I wrote in my piece that it was the quiet bit said out loud. You can't say on one hand before the racing that this is part of our brand, that we love the Dolphins and we want to protect them, and then say Dolphins are intelligent beings and they'll just get out of the way. It's just not the same thing.
This wasn't the initial reaction from everyone. What was it like for you seeing that initial response from some people? Did you think that some of these people were really missing that context that you were aware of?
I mean, people should be allowed to have opinions, right? If they feel strongly that racing should go ahead, they're entitled to that opinion. But I think there was a bit of context missing there. The build-up to all of this was these, very glowing statements about the Dolphins. But then they had this plan before the first race they had in Christchurch in Lyttelton, and then they didn't even follow it. They were instructed during the final race a year ago to stop racing because Dolphins were too close to the boats within the deemed distance of 300 metres. The race controller said later they didn't think there was a risk to the Dolphins, but of course that's not what they signed up for. This is their own plan. And so there were two DOC investigations, one of which was into that particular incident, so Dolphins being too close to the boats. They couldn't prove that they were within 300 metres because SailGP didn't provide them with the GPS data. Also, they couldn't prove that the skippers knew about it. The skippers have to know the Dolphins are there, and of course, if the control room doesn't tell them they're there, they don't know. So that was the first investigation. The second was that there was an accusation from somebody who actually worked as an observer that the chase boats or the observer boats were actually chasing the Dolphins away and herding them away from the race course. Now, you could say that's good for the Dolphins. This is something that should happen, that Dolphins should be kept away. But actually herding and harassing Dolphins is another breach of the Marine Mammal Sanctuary rules. Both of those investigations were dropped and no action was taken.
There is an element of truth there, though, right? Like what Chris Luxon called our obstruction economy, it is a real problem. It's genuinely too hard to build a house, for instance, that's sort of widely accepted across the political spectrum, the RMA, all this stuff. Was this issue actually emblematic of an obstruction economy?
Well, no. I've built a house, so it can be done. And it was reasonably straightforward. So, no, I don't think it's emblematic. I think they're very different things. If you look at what has happened here, for some reason, people who want to run a race, a commercial sailing race, these are catamarans that go up to 100 kilometres an hour, they don't even need permission from anybody to do that. They had a reservation with ECAN to use the harbour for an event, but they didn't have to apply to the Department of Conservation. There are certain regulations they have to abide by, and one of them is not to injure or kill dolphins. Now, if that had have happened, that's what they're trying to avoid, of course, then there could be ramifications. But given that there were two investigations that were dropped last year, maybe the authorities would say, well, they had this marine mammal plan in place, they did the best they could, and it's kind of just bad luck, and it might not be in the public interest to pursue SailGP for this. So, no, I think it's a very different thing. Well, what Russell Coutts was is said he that this was forced upon SailGP, this marine mammals management plan, and they had to pay a lot of money for people to observe dolphins and make sure that they weren't so close to the boats. But others would say that's just a cost of doing business, particularly where it was sited.
If there's one thing I thought I knew about New Zealand, it's that we love our animals and our environment. We want to protect them. You know, mainland cheese used to be raising money for the hoi haw when I was growing up, all that sort of stuff. Like, here we've had multiple days of people saying it's woke not to run over dolphins. I mean, have you felt a little bit bewildered by this as well as an environment reporter?
Well, a little bit, but the whole reason that this happened and the reason why I'm sitting here talking to you today is because of an extraordinary intervention from Russell Coutts. And so Russell Coutts basically created the narrative and controlled it. So he read from that statement. There's footage of him on News Talk ZB reading his statement. But then he walked off without being interviewed. And yes, of course, as Colin pointed out on Wednesday, the show, the follow-up show, did interrogate this a bit more and have some balance and comment. But the only reason this happened is because of what he said and how he said it and the reaction of the public. And, of course, an element of the public will say he's dead right.
Yeah. I wonder, is that something that you could have seen happening even a few years ago?
Well, it does seem extraordinary. But there was a parliamentary protest. You know, lots of people have views that are not the same as other people's. And one of the people that attended that protest was Russell Coutts, who I read his statement from Facebook, his very last point for attending, and the one that he thought about most strongly was his distrust of the media, which he thought had been bought off to recycle the spin from the government. So these views from Russell Coutts are not surprising, and his distrust of the media is all there for everyone to see.
Just lastly, David, what punishment do you think that we should inflict upon these dolphins for disrupting the racing and loitering in the racing grounds?
Radio people won't be able to see, but I'm smiling, so thank you for your question. It could be taken as bait, really. You could argue that they've already been punished, that in fact it was a pretty stressful weekend, but there was that balance there that Christopher Luxon wanted. They were there on the race course on Saturday and there was no racing, and they weren't nearby on Sunday and racing got done, so, you know, everybody should be happy, right?
No stocks, no dolphin jail.
No, although I do see that through some of the vox pops that people had, you know, that whole dolphin sashimi thing. Obviously, some people think they should be punished and that should involve being eaten.
Not for you, though. Not for you.
Not for me.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That was David Williams, the Christchurch-based environment editor of newsroom.co.nz, talking there to Media Watch's Hayden Donnell about the dolphin drama last weekend that divided sailing, politics and the media. Well, that's all we have for you this weekend, but we'll be back again with more on the media in midweek Media Watch after 9:30 on Nights with Emile Donovan. That's next Wednesday. And then back again with more Media Watch at the same time next weekend here on RNZ National.